It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4.25-inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. We're going to jump right into it today. I've got a great guest lined up for you. Scott Rabelais, a columnist and sports writer for The Advocate out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, also writes for NOLA.com, has covered 17 Masters tournaments and loves to play the game of golf, and I think you're really going to enjoy my conversation with him. I sat down with him a couple of weeks ago before he took off to cover the Olympics in Paris. Man, what a treat for him to get to go cover the Olympics in Paris. I know it's a lot of hard work, but hey, you're in Paris, right? You're going to enjoy my conversation with him. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you find one of their properties. BPHotels.com will take you to their list. I'm back with Scott Rabelais after this.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. Scott Rabelais has covered 17 Masters tournaments in his time as a sports columnist and writer. Yeah, the grounds of Augusta National have changed, but one thing is still the same. He will explain a little more about that in my sit-down with him. I hope you enjoy it. On the tee, Scott Rabelais.
Scott, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. So, do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club and really started to enjoy or fell in love with the game?
Well, probably I picked up one of my dad's golf clubs. He got bitten by the golf bug pretty badly when he was in his early 30s, and I'd cry when I couldn't go with him to the golf course, you know. So probably that, but I really started playing in earnest, I guess, when I got into high school, took golf then as a class, and then got on the golf team. We won some state title my junior year. I was like one of those guys sitting on the end of a bench on a basketball team that wins a title, but I was on the team.
So a bench warmer,
yes,
in basketball, but
yes,
you were on the team in golf too?
I was the basketball equivalent of a bench warmer on the golf,
okay, okay,
on the golf team. But probably started in earnest in high school.
But they won a state championship?
Yeah.
How about that?
Without me, yeah. Yeah, it was fond memories. Fond memories for sure, and a lot of scary times, though, you know, because you had to count every single shot. You know, you're grinding over the two footers. So,
were those the toughest ones for you, the two footers?
Yeah, because you're really not supposed to miss those. So yeah,
yeah, you're supposed to make those.
Like the other day, I played with my son and my brother and his son, and I just missed like an 88 footer from off the green. You know, so you're not expecting to make that, but I just came up short on that. Few inches away, so yeah.
And if that one would have dropped, it would have been sure elation.
Right, exactly.
When did you first go out and enjoy the game, though? Not playing in competition, but enjoy the game.
I guess I'd have to say, in the late 70s, New Orleans has always had a PGA Tour stop for a long, long time, and So my dad would take us down there, and I guess going to the 1979 Greater New Orleans Open and watching these guys and just seeing how seemingly effortlessly they played well. You know, this game that we're all aspiring to play, and there was a those are great memories. Going to see Lee Trevino would play, and Jack Nicklaus would play once in a while. Ben Crenshaw, who was one of my favorites, and Tom Watson. Yeah. One time I got Tom Watson's autograph, and he used my pen to sign an autograph for another kid. I'm like, oh, Tom Watson needs my pen to sign an autograph. This is exciting.
Yeah.
So, probably that, because it was, that was, I don't know if we went every single day, but we went, a couple of times during the tournament week, and it was just fun to be in that atmosphere. And this is where the focus of golf is right now. And I guess probably got me started with wanting to be a sports journalist. And just, I always like being where something is happening. And I think that probably started back then.
Being where something is happening. Obviously I think of golf and getting to cover the Masters as a huge deal. You've been able to and fortunate enough to do that for the past 17 years.
Not exactly the past 17 years. Journalistically, I got to be accurate. I went for 5 years. The first time I went was 2002. Then the paper's like, we're not going to spend the money to do that anymore. And then I started going back in 2012. And then I didn't get credentialed in 2020 because that was the one they had in the fall.
COVID.
And they reduced everything down to like a third. And then I've been back the last three. So 17 times since 2002. To be absolutely correct.
Well, you got to be absolutely correct. The first time you ever stepped on the grounds of Augusta National, what was that like?
It was surreal. It was absolutely surreal because, I mean, it's, as everybody says, it's the major that's in the same place every year. So if you're a golf fan, you're familiar with all the holes and everything. But we back then, you parked the media parking. You just went through this little cut in the – there's this huge wall of bamboo along Washington Road. And you went through this little cut in the bamboo, and it was like falling down the rabbit hole in Alice in Wonderland, And we parked where the players' very amazing practice facility is now. Mm-hmm. And it was just a big open field, and you walked to the gate, and then you walked to the press building. But even that – and it says it wasn't fancy. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just a big field where they parked lots of cars. But it was still where you are, and just the sense of this is the place. I finally made it through that barrier to get here, and after a few years of trying to get them to send me to the tournament, so it was surreal to think that I'm finally here. And I'm gonna have to kind of a pinch myself kind of moment.
Obviously, covering the Masters, I'm sure you have plenty of stories that you can share from your time being able to go there. What's one of the earliest ones that you remember?
You start to misremember things, but after the time goes by. But I'm pretty sure it was that very first year. I was with another guy who I knew in the media, and he said, we have a press building, and they had meals for the press. But he said, hey, we can go eat in the clubhouse and the grill, attached to the main players' lounge. You want to go? I said, yes, great. So let's go. So there was one day when they'd had a weather delay, so they were finishing a round, and then they were recutting the cups, and they had going to send everybody out for the next round. So we went in there and during that gap, and of course it was packed in there, and it grilled, and not a huge room, but a good size. So we sat in this table for four, just the two of us, and then Phil Mickelson and his teaching pro at the time, Rick Smith, walked in, and they saw those two seats. Said, "Is someone sitting here?" And we said, "No, of course not." They sit down. So they sit down, and Phil sticks out his right hand. Phil Mickelson. I'm like, yeah, I know who you are. And there wasn't much conversation. They were talking about some kind of deal for Phil investing in some kind of golf academy or something like that. But I'll never forget what he ordered. It was kind of like the scene in the Blues Brothers where Dan Aykroyd orders four fried chickens and a Diet Coke. Phil ordered three cheeseburgers with no bread and a Diet Coke.
Cheeseburgers?
With no bread. Just you wanted the
patties.
Yeah, yeah.
With cheese on the patty. Yeah. Three of those, though.
Yeah, and a Diet Coke. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
Nothing else to go with it?
No.
No greens, no nothing?
No, that was it.
No wonder he looked like he did back then.
Yeah. Needed to bulk up, I guess, between rounds because he probably must have played a lot. I'm sure he played a lot more than 18 holes a day. So that was an early memory. Then he came to New Orleans. I was covering the tournament in New Orleans the next month or whatever, and we were interviewing, and I just said, you remember sharing a table with me at the Master last month? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he didn't, but it was just a moment. It was
played it off funny. Well.
Yeah, he did. He certainly did.
What about some interactions in the press room? And I'm going to get to how that press facility has evolved over time since you've been going there. But some of the early interactions, I mean, it appears to me from an outsider who's only been to a practice round, not as a credentialed media, but as a patron, it appears to me that they do treat the media pretty fairly and pretty well.
I think that's true for everyone who attends, whether they're the patrons or the media or whatever, certainly the players. Getting in the place is the hardest part, getting mm-hmm. credentialed, getting a ticket to the lottery or whatever, qualifying for the tournament. Once you're there, I've found everyone's treated very well. Everyone's kind of on eggshells, certainly. You know, you don't want to do anything to screw up getting thrown out of there. I mean, you know, you can't take your cell phone out on the golf course. One of the announcers, I think it was Trip Eisenhower, who was one of the guys he got his credential pulled because he stepped outside the press building to use his phone, just right outside. You can't.
That's a big no no.
Huge no no. Huge no no. But you know, you never see more cameras in one place in the world than you do on those practice days when people are allowed to bring their cameras and the portable cameras and the disposable cameras and that sort of thing, because you can't use your phone. But they have phones on the court, banks of telephones where people you can call anywhere in the world, as far as I know, for free. So anyway, I think everyone's on trying to be on their best behavior, but so you're a little on edge. But I think generally speaking, once you're there, you're treated with, okay, this is, you know, we're here to host a tournament. You're our guest, you know, and enjoy it. And I think that's the way I find that the press is generally treated. And certainly, when I first started going there for a number of years, we had the press building right off the first fairway. People see where that huge scoreboard is right mm-hmm. off the first fairway. We were behind there, and then they rebuilt some things, and they moved us out to the end of the practice facility. And there was some grumbling at the press conference with Billy Payne, who was the chairman at the time, and he said, "You're going to like it, trust me." And of course, between tournaments, between 16 and 17, they built this thing that looks like Tara from Gone with the Wind. It's a 50,000 square foot building they built in less than a year, this enormous thing, and it's much nicer than we deserve. You know, it's got wood paneling, and it's got a nice, there's a locker room, there's showers, and you know, when I would stay at the house with these people, my brother had this, we'd stay at this house across Washington Road. My brother had this company that he worked with, and they would get a house to schmooze clients and stuff. Well, I just needed a place to stay. And so a couple of times it'd be like during the week or during the time I stayed with him, and said, do you use the shower? I said, no, I showered at the club. I'm fine. So, yeah.
Yeah. I showered in the press room. I showered at the club, but in the press room. They think you're probably showering at the club.
No. I try to be careful of that. One time I put in a just an aside. I was trying to be funny. At the end of a column, and said, "Like, now, excuse me, I've got to go have a cigar with I'm right blanking on his name, the Spanish player. He's now on the senior tour. Jimenez.
Miguel Jimenez.
And somebody goes, "Oh, that was so cool. You got to do this. I didn't actually do that. I was just trying to be funny. You know, I was just trying to be funny."
Tiger Woods, obviously. I mean, he is the needle when it comes to golf.
No question.
His interactions there with you in press conferences, obviously, it's always on Tuesday with him, pre-round press conferences, and then after winning like he did in 19. What he was able to do after the injury, Scott, I think, tells you, and I don't know that he's going to win another major again. I think maybe the time has passed him by, but I think if he doesn't get injured, if he doesn't have the car wreck, I think he probably does get close to Jack. Do you think so?
I think so. I mean, he's won five, so he, you know, and Nicholas won six, so he certainly could have had the opportunity. I like you. I think he's physically too beat down now to do that. But that was a remarkable thing. I was there in 2005 when he won and chipped in. I was in the press room. You know, people asked me, "Were you out there?" I said, no, by the time they get to the back nine on Sunday, it's so crowded, and you're trying to follow guys in different groups because it's usually, you know, frequently it's a, there are a lot of guys in contention and things are going up and down.
Explain to the listener what being in the press room, what type of access and feeds do you get? You've got the live television that's going on, and you've got stats right there on your computer.
That's right. At every seat, you know, you've got your seat, and you've got a place to, everyone brings their own laptop, of course, to write on and to file the stories, because, you know, you're plugged into the way things are sent into your own editing system, you know, with your newspaper or whatever you have. But they also have a monitor that's got a bunch of different TV feeds from every hole on the back nine, and the Golf Channel and ESPN and CBS and the BBC and Sky Network. I mean, just a whole bunch of stuff. And then you have another monitor that's got stats where you can access, what a hole player is on, what the stats are for the day, historic information, that kind of thing. So it's I haven't been to every sporting event in the world. One of our writers, we're here this week, and it was all the All-Star game was here in Arlington, and one of our writers went to that game, and that's a big deal. But there's nothing like the press building at Augusta National, this permanent facility. And certainly in the other majors and other sporting events, because they move around, so that, they know. Yeah, if the guys are here this year, they need this facility, they're going to come next year. So, it's everything that you need. And then, of course, they have a big media guide, the printed media guide. It's probably the only people still print a media guide.
Right.
The folks at Augusta National. And then there's quote transcriptions. Players, they've moved it over the years, but now players leave the 18th hole, and everyone plays 1 to 18 at Augusta, unless it's weather. No one starts on 10. So they leave 18. They walked underneath the kind of on a ground level part of the clubhouse. That's where they fill sign their scorecards. Then they come out. There's a little area where you can request players, and they'll come and talk. And then of course if someone's doing well, a first round leader or someone who looks like they're in contention, they'll bring them to the press building and the interview room. And in the interview room, they get a little chip in your press credential where they know your name before you ask the question. So the guy who's moderating,
of course, technology.
Yes, wow. So that's very nice as well. But going back to what you said about Tiger, Tuesday, it's always packed. He and the chairman's press conference on Wednesday, those are the two times the room is totally filled.
When Tiger chipped in on a 16 in 05, you're in the press building. Following that along, what was that like?
Yeah, we're in the old press building, so we had the monitors, but you had some big screens in the front of the room, so kind of hear a roar from inside the building. Obviously there was an enormous reaction, and to cover it properly, because you got to start writing like right away as soon as they're done with the round. So unfortunately, I think they were in the playoff, so I did go out for part of the playoff and watch them play 18, but. But for 16 now, I watched it on TV like everybody else. But I do make a point to go out on the course every day. They've made the press building so nice. I know a lot of those guys don't leave. They rarely leave. But it's such a beautiful place, and it's just such a you just want to get out there and be in the elements. To me, early in the round, but like I said, by the time they get to the back nine on Sunday, you kind of got to follow it that way.
Let me ask you this: I know that they always have a lottery for a chance for the media to get to play around at Augusta National. Has your name ever come up in the lottery, and have you gotten to play?
My name came up 3 years ago. Yeah, I got to play in 2021. Sure did.
What was that like?
I'd gone a bunch of times, obviously. Like I said, this year was my 17th Masters, so like half the time I'd applied and for the lottery, and half the time I hadn't for whatever reason. I needed to get home or, going on to cover something else. But okay, I'm definitely going to apply this year. And I'd brought my clubs, and I told them, I said, I've applied the thing about seven times. I'd never gotten in, and my name came up. So I think they kind of took pity on me. So it was amazing. And you want me to talk about the whole experience?
Yeah, well, what happened? Walking on the first tee, did they say, on the tee, Scott Rabelais,
no,
now driving?
No, not quite like that, but They give you a tee time. I forget exactly what the time was. Let's say it was 1:20 p.m. So 12:20, exactly 1 hour before, not a minute before, you're allowed to turn onto Magnolia Lane.
So you got to drive.
So I was actually 1 minute early, and there was a state trooper at the end of the little guardhouse at the end of the road. And he said, "Just pull over here for a second." So okay.
You had to wait a minute on Magnolia Lane.
I had to wait a minute. Yeah. Then I drove very slowly down Magnolia Lane. Parked. They came and picked me up in a cart. I kind of parked over there by the par three course. Picked me up in a cart, and they'd filled us in. We'd had like a little meeting on Saturday to talk about what to expect and stuff like that. And we used the champions' locker room upstairs, which you never get to go in.
Holy cow!
Yeah, you can go just about anywhere in the clubhouse. Well, you can't go in the players' locker rooms anymore. There's a regular players' locker room down the ground level, and then there's a champions' level upstairs. It's very small up there. You get the champions' locker room, and then the other half of that floor is where they have the champions' dinner.
Correct.
It's called the library, and above that is the crow's nest where the amateurs stay. We used the champions' locker room. I used Seve Ballesteros' locker. So oh, I put wow. my stuff in his locker. Then they had breakfast for us in that room. And of course, you, like I said, the clock is ticking. You know, it's
you, you want to go hit balls and warm
you,
up.
You do. And so we had breakfast, and I got to throw this in there. We sat on the veranda of the clubhouse, and Jim Nantz came by on a golf cart, and one of the other sports writers yells at him, Jim, are you playing today, Jim? And he said, no, I just like to come by and say goodbye to the golf course. And of course, everyone who plays, if you're a reporter, you write something when you get home about what your experience is like. I said, well, that's going in the column, obviously.
Yeah.
so I'm jotting that down. So we go over and practice. And I thought, you know, there's still the little practice facility next to Magnolia Lane that used to be where the players would, when I started going there, that's where they had to drive. And they had the big nets because John Daly was hitting balls into Washington Road. But they let us use the players' practice facility, which surprised me, you know. So we're out there. I met my caddy. Each of us had a caddy. It was a foursome. Never laid eyes on any of these guys before. One guy was Tim Reynolds, an AP sports writer from Miami, and then it was a guy from South America, and it was a guy from England. And we each had a caddy, and we walked the course. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I've got my steps in. I've been walking. You know, I started during COVID. I really started walking every day, but you're like, it's really hilly, and it's in you're playing golf, and you're not carrying your bag, obviously. But I guess the adrenaline carried me through because I really wasn't. No, that tired. The climb up 18 is pretty steep.
I bet
steep.
That got you.
But otherwise, it was fine. So
what'd you shoot?
I shot like 105.
You know? But you didn't care.
No, I ran to Chairman Payne one day, like on the Saturday or Sunday near the 18th green. And I talked to him a little bit before going to his when he was chairman of the press conference and asking him about, you know, he played safety for Georgia. You know, he was an all SEC safety back in the late 60s. He was a very good athlete. And so I said, I'm getting to play your course. And I said, any advice? He said, don't go into it thinking you're going to shoot the greatest score of your life. You know, that'll just take away from it. Just enjoy the experience. And it was very good advice, actually. So I did. I didn't enjoy hitting balls all over the place in the trees and in the bunkers and stuff like that in the water. But I did enjoy the experience. And it was like, okay, this is cool. But it really hit you. Kind of like, yes, we like going for the first time. It really hit me when we walked from the 11th green to the 12th tee because we use the members tees mostly, but on the par threes on six, the four, we use the forward tee. The players use the forward tees too. But especially on six and 12 and 16, you're basically playing the length that they play it, you mm-hmm. know, during the tournament. And that was real. That really hit me. I said, I tell the guys in our group, they're really going to let us do this, right? Because, you know, when you cross the Hogan Bridge across Rays Creek, the only people who ever go back there are the players, the caddies, rules officials, TV guys.
Select TV guys.
Yeah. I mean, there's no fans. There's no grandstands back there or anything like that. So it's a very few people get to go back there. And then, of course, you tee off on 13. You come back across on the Nelson Bridge. And 13 was I did par 13.
There
I was happy
go.
About that. I had
okay.
had a reasonable birdie putt of about 15 feet. We had the Sunday pins. They hadn't cut the greens from Sunday, so they were a little slower. But it was the pin placements. Like six, you had the pin on that knob on the back right.
Oh, yeah.
I had a terrible iron shot below the green, but I hit what I thought was a good wedge shot, and it kind of disappears over the crest of the hill. And so I think I'm going to be on that. My caddy goes, just wait. And then you see the ball roll out like 40 feet to the left. I two-putted from there, which I was pretty pleased to make a bogey from there. I hit five and two. I hit driver three wood, hit the green and two. I three-putted that one, but the pin was right on the edge of a shelf, and I didn't want it to roll off the green because I've seen that. I've seen professionals do that.
Yeah,
roll the ball off the green. But it was a wonderful experience, and I can't apply for the lottery again until for another 4 years because you can only do it once every 7 years.
All right, best golf course you've ever played. Is it Augusta National?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. I mean, Pebble Beach is pretty awesome. I've played there. But, you know, I've not been to St. Andrews. I've been to Sawgrass, but I haven't played it. I've been to Pinehurst, but I haven't played it. But it'd be hard to talk. The only thing I think we would come close would be St. Andrews, I guess.
Your paper is sending you to Paris to cover the Olympics.
Yes.
You going to cover a little golf over there too?
I hope to get out there. We were focusing on the Louisiana contingent, and we have a lot of athletes going. There's 33 athletes with LSU, current or former LSU athletes, and the Pelicans point guard, mm-hmm. Jose Alvarado, is playing. And then we have a trampoline guy from Lafayette. Trampoline's a sport. But Scotty Scheffler's caddy, Ted Scott, is from Lafayette, which is in our circulation area. This, you know, just less than an hour from Baton Rouge, and I got to know Teddy pretty well over the years. So I hope to get out there at some point. And I'd like to see Nelly Korda play in person. I've never seen her play. So what a guy from Baton Rouge, the guy who runs the local municipal golf for the park system, is a guy named Mike Raby. He's high up with the PGA of America, and he's going as a rules official for the men's tournament.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's really cool for
another
him.
Little tie-in for
yeah.
you. If you
yeah, will. Yes, exactly. I'm writing a little something before that about people who are going as coaches and officials and that sort of thing. So it's Mike works a bunch of the majors and stuff like that. After Bubba won the second major, I said, let me do a story on him going into the next year's tournament. And so he said, you know, I asked him, of course, about the playoff hole in 2012 and when he bends the wedge shot around the tree. And he said, obviously when he hit the tee shot into the trees, I was very worried, because of sudden death, and when we got down there and I saw the shot he had, and look, you stand down there as you probably did when you went, and it's like a 100-foot tall magnolia tree between where he was and the green,
and then the pine trees.
Yeah, you're well in the trees. And he said I relaxed because I knew. He said, "Oh, I know he can do this. I've seen him pull off shots like that and bend it with a wedge. 40 yards or so is pretty amazing." But he said, "Yeah, I kind of relaxed." He said he was such a feel player. He said the first time he caddied for him, they were playing with Heath Slocum. And Bubba asked Heath Slocum's caddy for a yardage, and he gave it to him, and then he hit it. He looks at it, waggles, he hits it stiff like 4 feet, and they're walking up to the green, and Heath's caddy tells Ted, he said, "I gave him the yardage 10 yards off on purpose because I wanted you to see that. He's totally a field player. He famously never had a lesson and all this stuff." So,
yeah.
And, of course, now he's with Scottie Scheffler, who's, he's been on the bag for four Masters. You can't say he doesn't have a part in it, because
he does.
Scotty's won all his tournaments with Ted on the bag. And Ted's a great guy. It's impossible not to root for them because they're both great guys.
No doubt they are. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others you would like to play a round of golf with.
Gosh, well, Jack Nicklaus was always my favorite player, my favorite athlete of all time. So I'd have to put Jack Nicklaus in there. John F. Kennedy was a golfer. He was a pretty good. He was a pretty good athlete, despite all his health problems. So I'd have to put those two, and then Tom Hanks. I don't know if he plays golf or not, Tom Hanks. He's one of those guys. You think I could have a beer with Tom Hanks and talk to him about World War II or the Apollo missions, going to the moon or something like that. So
that would be good. Scott, thanks for the time.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. It's been a lot of fun to anytime we talk about golf, you don't have to twist my arm too much.
I didn't think I would have to. Good to catch up with you.
Thanks, Trey.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassiz 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
That will just about do it for this edition of From the Short Grass. Next week, we'll have a recap of the men's Olympic golf competition from Le Golf National in Paris. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, and Wyndham Clark are the four Americans competing for Team USA. My thanks to Scott Rabelais for taking time out of his busy schedule. I hope he's found a little bit of time to enjoy Paris. The Olympics in LA in 2028. Maybe From the Short Grass goes live from the golf competition. If you've missed an episode of From the Short Grass, you can find it wherever you get your podcast. Apple, Google, Spotify, even YouTube. Yes, we are on YouTube. Search From the Short Grass and you will be able to find it. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.